Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Christmas Eve at Friends Church. Happy you could join us tonight. See some of many familiar faces and some new faces. If you're new here, we just want you to just chill out and relax. So a lot of people come into the place like this, you know, maybe once a year and feel pretty nervous. Or the door's never locked, just so you know. And hopefully you're able to make use of the bar that was open for a half hour before. But you can catch it on the way out if you didn't. So here's the plan tonight. We're going to sing a bunch of songs. The band has some great music lined up. And so some of it you're going to know. And if you do, sing along. Sing loud and proud. And they're going to play some other stuff that maybe you haven't heard before. And so we just invite you to just sit back and just relax and take it in. We're going to tell portions of the Christmas story, and we're going to reflect on it and what it might mean to you and me today in 2017, soon to be 18. And we're going to reflect back on this last year as a community, Friends Church, and some exciting things that have happened. So we're going to do that in about 50 minutes. How would that be? All right? So for some of you that are like, got dragged in here, cricket kicking and screaming, it won't be too painful, hopefully. We're hoping that this will be meaningful. You know, we talk a lot about this exciting celebration around Christmas time, but for many, we understand that Christmas is a difficult time for many. There's some people that are walking through some relational dynamics in family, with family or friends, and they get to this point on Christmas Eve, and they're dreading the next 24 to 72 hours, because they're not sure how it's all going to go down. I know there's some people right now, you come in here, and your MasterCard is sweating bullets. And there's some financial stress and pressure comes with this season that you're hating. Some of you this Christmas might not be spending it with someone because of something that's happened this last year. There's been deaths in the family. There's been sickness. And so at this time of year, it's amazing how you can come in and everyone's talking about the big party, and there are some that are just feeling pretty heavy. It's a heavy time. We get it. And so I'm going to just invite you right now, because I'm sure you got 100 different things on your head right now. Let's just breathe, can we? I just invite you, just fill those lungs up. Just breathe, can you? If you want to just close your eyes, and exhale. This we got to do more of. Just breathe it in. And exhale. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what kind of heaviness you bring in here tonight. But know this, you got this moment right now. You're okay. We got this moment. Let's set aside the worries of this last year. Let's set aside the worries of the next 24 to 72. And let's just appreciate this moment right now, can we? Yeah. Let's enjoy this.
This is the story of how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Mary and Joseph had promised to get married, but before they started to live together, it became clear that she was going to have a baby. Her husband Joseph was faithful to the law, but he did not want to put her to shame in public, so he planned to divorce her quietly. But as Joseph was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She is going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus, which means the one who saves. That's because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to bring about what the Lord had said would happen. He had said through the prophet, "The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel means God with us. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, because he was a descendant of David. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was still pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. Which king was going to be the real king in the land? The band of scholars from the east saw the star again, the same star they had seen in their eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. Then they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
When the eighth day arrived, the day of circumcision, the child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Then when the day that Moses said were needed for baby Jesus to be ready, Mary and Joseph took him up to Jerusalem to follow the command written by their spiritual ancestors. Every firstborn shall be holy, an offering to God. That's actually how one of the authors finishes their birth narrative, with that line. Every firstborn shall be holy. So what do you picture when you think of little baby Jesus as holy? Anyone have this in their mind? Fat little baby Jesus with a halo? I bet you when he played, you know, the clouds parted and the lights kind of shined down from them. And like he was always perfect, never did anything wrong, right? Probably wore white all the time, but didn't get dirty. That seems holy to me. Actually, the word holy means to be set apart for something bigger, for something more. When you look at this story, this whole idea of Jesus with the halo, that's not actually what's going on here. And you read carefully, the quote says, the firstborn shall be holy. Not just Jesus. All firstborn. Now at this point, my brother's getting really frustrated because he always had to take care of everyone because he was the firstborn, right? So all your firstborn out there are just going, oh man. The interesting part about this is firstborn is actually a metaphor. If you read other parts of the gospel narrative and older parts of the text, firstborn is thought to be anybody who follows the way of Jesus. Anyone who lives their life with something more. Anyone who looks at their life and says, it's not just about this moment, this dog-eat-dog, try to get ahead, take care of self, who cares about everyone else. It's more. And when we choose to live our lives connected to something more, some of you use the word God, that's fine. Some of you that word doesn't work, so that's fine too. You can call it divine. A lot of people just call it something more. When you're connected to that, when you choose to live your life in a way that ties into that more, the 12-step program does a great job of talking about that, doesn't it? Your higher power. Something that you live your life in connection with, that it guides you. That's what this text is about. In fact, the story of Jesus, I think, is a bigger story, the story of all of us. As any of us explore what it means to live connected to something more. When we live to something more, when we make decisions that are aligned with however we conceive of God or the divine or whatever that language is, you're holy. tonight when you go home. And instead of having that conversation that you know is going to just drive that person nuts, when you stop, just before you're about to say the thing that you always say, and then they say the thing they're going to say, and then you, when you stop that. There's this metaphor that one of our gospel writers says. He says, love is God. When we love, God is. So if we put those two metaphors together, this idea of we are holy, and holy means serving something greater, and that greater thing is love. What does your Christmas look like this year? How do you spend your time? What kind of conversations are you going to have or not have? Where are you going to open your heart? Where are you going to let people in? Where are you going to repair the things you need to repair? Or forgive the things that need to be forgiven? Because when we look at the Easter story through that final lens, that section that we normally don't read, this thing becomes something bigger than just a story that we read here. It becomes our story. And every day we have a choice to live our lives as holy or as selfish. This year, I want to challenge you. I want to inspire you to make every decision connected to that something more. Make every moment something bigger. Make every moment of your life holy by choosing to live with love. I don't know about you, but that concept will forever change this song.
So Christmas is this great time, a celebration, reminder of our call to be about something deeper and bigger and wider. 2017 comes to a close, and we as Friends Church leaders begin to reflect over what's gone on 2017 as we look back at the effort and the movement of this community called Friends Church. I just got to tell you, we are just so proud of this community. I mean, long gone are the days when church and religious experience or involvement was about some kind of dress-up pageant that you just show up on Sunday and look pretty and kind of put on the dog and then walk out. No, this place is redefining what this spiritual journey looks like. Many of you, week in and week out, aren't throwing on your Sunday best. You're throwing on your sweats and you're showing up at the gym, the spiritual gym, to get a workout, to wrestle with stuff that's deep and wide. Exploring deeper meaning, why we are even here. Over the past year, we've wrestled in the gym here, all kinds of age-old but highly relevant spiritual themes. We've wrestled with what our ego is doing. Our internal false selves, our voices in our heads as it speaks and prompts us and pokes us and provokes us to being something we truly aren't. We talked about handling our money some weeks and our priorities. Other weeks we talked about what it means to be healthy in community, to speak truth with each other, to be able to be different, to be able to handle it when someone thinks and believes differently than us. There were portions of time that we devoted in the spiritual gym to wrestling through the Bible, narratives from the Bible. The book of Luke we explored. The book of Numbers we spent time in this year. And in the process, we watched as people in their Sunday workout clothes, coffee in hand, perhaps laid down some old beliefs that were no longer working for them. Some sitting in the back corners of the place, checking us out, began to embrace belief, some for the first time. Some confronted deeply held prejudices. perspectives that they inherited along the way that were perhaps hurtful to others. Opening up your minds and your hearts to new perspectives of the world, of your neighbors, of perhaps even your own loved ones. We watched as people were coming in and working out in the spiritual gym, wrestling with stuff that was opening them up to deeper and wider and bigger. The more than. Put smiles on our faces as we'd watch people walk out those doors, determined to live a little differently, a little better, a little more mindful that week than they did the week before. And you'd leave this place, but it didn't stop there for many of you. Many of you took it upon yourself to go further, to do some deep internal work. Some of you continued in recovery. Some of you went into recovery, dealing with hurts and habits, addictions, all kinds of stuff. Some of you registered for different conferences and workshops. We packed out our Enneagram workshops that we ran here. We doubled the capacity of our relationship weekend that we did beta test on. Some of you spent your hard-earned cash getting one-on-one, face-to-face with a therapist to be able to work out stuff that you haven't been able to wrestle out on your own. And in the process, we watched relationships begin to turn right in front of our eyes. Some of you, friendships that were as good as dead began to show new life. Some of you, marriages you thought were over, began to turn. Forgiveness was granted. We watched love in places where there was once just cold-hearted resentment. But some yet determined to take it even further, saying, you know what, this isn't just about me. It isn't just about my small circle of friends. Some of you said, I think I can actually use my gifts and talents to do something bigger and leave a deeper mark on someone else. And so you got busy. You left a mark in other places. As the band plays this song, O Light, we wanted to give you a little reminder through the multimedia of some different ways that you did that this year. We just want to tell you how proud we are of a community that sees the value of being a part of something deeper and wider, something more. Well done, Friends Church.